A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport on Tay Church, to our online or Zoom service this Sunday, 24th January 2021. And we are grateful to God for all of us who have taken up this time to worship with us this morning. On behalf of the congregation, I would like to welcome especially those who are worshiping with us for the first time, or are doing so after a long while. Usually at the end of the service, we have breakout rooms where we can chat with one another and catch up about the events of the week. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 97. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him, consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness and all people his glory. All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, Lord. For you, Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let those who love the Lord hate evil. For he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light shines on the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. Our first hymn, Lord Divine, all loves excelling.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, despite the restrictions placed upon us and the circumstances in which we are living in these days, we are thankful that we can turn our eyes upon you to praise and worship you, the living God, drawing comfort in the knowledge of your gracious and compassionate nature. Father, as we gather for worship this morning, we are conscious of those who have not been able to meet with others, concerned perhaps not to be in other people's company because of health reasons. We think of them now. We think of where we would be sitting normally on a Sunday morning in church. And we ask you, Lord, to bless us just where we are now, uniting us through the love of Christ. Holy One, Lord, God of all creation, you call us to be your people, to carry your vision in this time and place, to go where you send us, to help welcome your amazing good news. As we gather together, O Father, to spread the news that your realm is near, fill us with your Holy Spirit, O God of all creation. Fill us with your glorious Spirit, that we may share your good news with a world that is in need. Gracious God, you offer us new life in Christ, yet so often we try to live in our own way and in our own strength. We stray from the paths you want us to follow. Forgive us for our half-hearted efforts, our self-centeredness, our selfish prayers. Challenge our minds and hearts and lead us towards your truth. Hear now the good news from our Lord Jesus. For all who put their trust in Christ, Jesus Christ says, your sins are forgiven. Hear us, good God, as we pray in faith, and bring this part of our prayers to a close in the words our Savior gave us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, Here I Am to Worship.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made his heart.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 1 to 4 and verses 18 to 19. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Our next reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 to 8, the Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them. And a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. And the next hymn we're going to sing is, "Lord, the light of your love is shining."
Shine.
Let us pray. God, source of light, by your word you give light to the soul and refresh us for our journeys in life. Pour out on us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that our hearts and our minds may be opened to listen to your word and to keep that which you call us to keep as we order our lives. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Loved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the story of our text, commonly called the Transfiguration of Jesus, is at the very center of Mark's gospel. This mountaintop journey does not happen immediately. Mark says it takes place 6 days after Jesus had been in conversation with his disciples, in which he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" And more pointedly, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Now, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and James and John up a high mountain. Once they reached the summit of the mountain, those three disciples saw something that was beyond anything they could ever imagine. Jesus' clothing became white. And alongside this dazzling Jesus was Elijah, who was certainly one of the greatest prophets of all time. According to the biblical witness, generations before the transfiguration, chariots of fire and horses of fire had descended and had carried Elijah up to the heavens in a whirlwind. But now Elijah was back on earth talking with Jesus. And if this was not glorious enough, Moses was also there. Moses and Elijah appeared talking with Jesus, and the apostles overheard the conversation between this representative of the law, Moses, and Elijah, who represented the prophets. They were talking to Jesus about the death to which the law and the prophets bore witness, and which Jesus was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. And Moses and Elijah signified in their own person total witness of the law and the prophets to Jesus, his death and his resurrection. While all that was happening, the apostles were by the side witnessing these events. They did not know what to do. Peter could not believe his eyes. We know from scripture Moses had led the Hebrew people out of bondage across the desert and to the edge of the promised land. Moses had given them God's commandment. Now, decades, generations after he died, he too was there on the mountaintop with Jesus and Elijah. So filled with awe, perhaps with a little terror, yet surely experiencing in that moment a sense of joy that was almost unspeakable, the apostles could find no words that would adequately describe that day and their experience of the holy. And so Peter, the apostolic spokesperson, spoke up. Peter suggested that they do something, that they build something to immortalize that day and experience, to make that day permanent, to capture it forever, to keep it, to hold on to it forever. "Let us build three houses," Peter says, "one for each of you. And then nothing will ever change. And we can keep things just as they are this moment, from this day forth and even forevermore. Let us make it permanent." But as soon as he started gathering the building materials needed to enshrine the glorious day, thick clouds enshrouded the mountain until they could not see anything at all. not able to see beyond their noses, they heard God's voice saying, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Dear friends, Jesus Christ has been speaking to his disciples and especially to the apostles, and you would think they have been listening. 6 days before, Jesus had said things about suffering and rejection, about crosses and losing a life to find it. But Peter was looking for permanent joys and enjoyments and places of honor and distinctiveness and lavish glory. Peter wanted to build a house or houses for them. But instead of issuing Peter a building permit or showing him where the scaffolding was kept, or instead of saying, "Good idea, Peter, get your hammer and I'll get mine, and together we will get some pretty sturdy houses built," God said, "Listen. Listen to Jesus. Listen. The path ahead will involve suffering before it involves glory, because faithful discipleship involves losing life before getting it." Dear friends, following Jesus means risking, not keeping, exploring, not preserving, responding, not holding. And when God stopped speaking, the cloud moved away in that story, and there was only Jesus standing there. What lay ahead was a journey down the mountain with Jesus, back into a world with Jesus, the beloved Son, where there were sick children, hungry crowds, corrupt power, violence, betrayal, and a cross. On the mountaintop on that glorious transfiguration day, Peter proposed that they do what was necessary to preserve that mountain, that moment, to maintain it, to secure it for the future. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I think we can understand that inclination of Peter. We want and we try hard to preserve what we love, to maintain what gives us joy and purpose and meaning, to maintain what is comfortable and familiar. And yes, we spend much of our lives trying to secure what we treasure, seeking to protect what we care about. But I am not sure preservation, maintenance, or securing is our final purpose any more than it was Peter's purpose on the mountaintop. Over against Peter's inclination to preserve that moment of glory, to make it permanent, was God's voice saying, "Listen. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him." I can hear it echoing down the mountainside as the vision entirely fades away, and the disciples and apostles never forgot those words, "Listen to him." I want to suggest to you, friends, that that is the supreme lesson of the Transfiguration. It concerns our duty to listen to Jesus, to turn a deaf ear to other teachers who disagree with Jesus, or who pretend that they are talking about Jesus when in fact they are only using his name for their selfish interests. Of course, listening to Jesus means listening to Scripture. And if only the church had adopted a submissive attitude to Scripture, it would not be in the porous condition in which it is today in terms of its moral values. "Listen," God said to Peter and James and John, "listen." God says to us, "Listen," and perhaps we would find our truest and most faithful calling. Listening means making tentative steps occasionally before the destination or directions are completely clear. Listening to Jesus requires a willingness to put our trust in God, to trust that the God who has been with us in the past will give us the promised future. But listening is hard. It's hard because sometimes when we really listen, we hear a calling, an invitation, a push to make changes that unsettle us, to give up what is known and familiar and comfortable, to go where we never wanted or thought about going to before. So let me ask you, as I bring this to a close, what are the voices that are giving you direction in your life and even in your own Christian life? Are there voices of the world and its value system that is often set against the values and standards of Almighty God and of His Christ? Or is the voice of Jesus that is leading and directing your life? This is my beloved Son. That is Jesus Christ, in whom I am well pleased. God says, listen to him. Let us hear again that prayer of Habakkuk. Lord, I have heard your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Amen. Our next hymn, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness. Let us pray, let us dedicate the offering, and let us thank God for ourselves and for the world. Gracious and holy God, accept what we offer to you today, our checks and cash, our faltering steps, our brokenness, our leftovers, our hope, our risking, our lives. Bless and transform all that we offer and all that we hold back, that new life may be ours to celebrate and share in Jesus' name. Father God, the one who calls us together as one, be with your worldwide church. Help us, Lord, to understand each other, to respect our differences and focus on what it is that unites us, our call to be your disciples. So many different people called together as one serving in your name. Help us, your children, to place you at the center of all we do and who we are. You are a God of unity and love. Heal your church, Lord. Close the gaps that divide and help us to serve you, showing justice and mercy to others, just as you have done so for us. God, our Father, in this moment of prayer, we think of that day when your disciples and yourself had that glorious moment of your transfiguration on the mountaintop. Father, we want to thank you so much for your presence in our lives. For times when our experience of you has been wonderful, and we've just seen nothing but the joy of being in your presence. Thank you for such moments. We confess, O Father, for times when we have wanted to be selfish with our own experiences and just to make things permanent, even things that may never be permanent for us in this life. Forgive us, Lord. And enable us, O Father, to share with one another and live the way you've called us to be. Father, we pray for our parish of Newport-on-Tay and give you thanks for all the ways that you continue to bless and to sustain us. So many in our church family and community are facing difficulties right now. The current lockdown measures are taking its toll in so many ways. We know that as hard as we try to ensure everyone is included and their needs are met, there may be situations we do not see, are not aware of, or that people do not wish to share. You are the God that sees, so we pray in confidence, knowing that you see each of us. Lord, help us to find ways to get better at loving and caring for each other. Show us how to meet the needs of our full church family as well as our wider community. Give us the strength and courage to reach out and ask for help, even when it feels like the hardest thing to do. Father God Almighty, we pray for the political situation of the world. And we thank you for a peaceful transfer of power from Donald Trump to Joe Biden in the United States of America. We pray, O Father, that you would use Joe Biden, the new president of the United States, in a way that will bring honor to your name and joy to the hearts of people. We pray too for our country here, the United Kingdom, that you will continue to bless the Prime Minister and all those who rule and lead us with him, that they will rule in justice and peace. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we pray for the health workers tending the seriously ill, for the researchers analyzing data and identifying trends, for the media outlets working to communicate reality, for the supermarket workers, hygiene and sanitation providers, for the good news stories of recoveries and effective planning and the effectiveness of the vaccines, for the singing from balconies by locked down communities, for the recognition that isolation doesn't need to mean loneliness, for the notes through letterboxes offering help and support, for the internet and telephones and technology that connects, for the awakened appreciation of what is truly important. Thanks be to God. And now, O Father, we bring our individual needs to you in the silence of our hearts. We pray for those who are unwell and concerned for loved ones, for those who were already very anxious, for those in the most at risk to coronavirus category, watching their entire income stream dry up, for those who have no choice but to go out to work, for those who are afraid to be at home, for those who are more lonely than they have ever been, for those who are bereaved and grieving, God, be their helper, comforter, and protector. Be their strength, shield, and provision. Be their security, safety, and close companion. We ask all these things and many more through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Let us now affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let us bring our service to its close as we sing that wonderful hymn, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world. Go in peace until we meet again, and may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Good morning, everyone.